Well, hello everyone and welcome to this episode of the Texas Titans podcast. I thought considering yesterday, March 2nd, was Texas Independence Day, we would start out with a little Texas history. So let's talk a little bit about how the Lone Star State got started. When the early Texans revolted against Mexican rule and gave birth to a new nation, the Republic of Texas, it was a do-it-yourself thing. It all started with an old cannon, a homemade flag, and a cocky motto that's as resonant today as it was in October 1835. That's when the colonists in a settlement named Gonzales decided to fight the 100 troops that Mexico's dictator, General Santa Anna, had sent to take possession of the town's single rusting cannon. Oddly enough, that gun, the It in Come and Take It, had originally been sent from Mexico to help the Anglo colonists fight the Comanche Indians, who had wiped out San Saba and other Spanish missions. In fact, it was the Mexican regime that had invited the Anglo settlers to the Texas territories in the first place as a defense against Indian raids. But times had changed. The dictator who had overthrown Mexico's democratic government now wanted to rule the unruly Texans. The defenders of Gonzales rallied under the crude flag, which was known as the Gonzales flag, with the cannon, the star, and written under it, "Come and take it." After a brief battle, the first of the Texas Revolution, the people of Gonzales kept their cannon. But the skirmish wasn't really about the gun. The thing barely worked. It was about defending local self-government from distant, centralized power, a notion that's as dear to Texans today as it was to the Gonzales guys in 1835. And just like your typical present-day Texan, those grassroots rebels knew the value of fighting words, "Come and take it." You couldn't pay an ad agency a monster fee to come up with a better slogan than that. The Battle of Gonzales in October 1835 may have provided the spark for the Texas Revolution, but the settlers who won it probably didn't anticipate just how the flames of their new war would burn. By early the next year, 6,000 Mexican troops had poured into Texas to put down the insurrection. Mexico's dictator, General Santa Anna, who in early 1835 had ransacked the Mexican silver mining town of Zacatecas to crush the rebels who were fighting to preserve their freedom under the Mexican Constitution of 1824, issued a decree to his troops to take no prisoners. 5 months after the rebels at Gonzales rallied under the slogan, "Come and take it," 187 of their brethren, including 9 Tejanos, or Texans of Mexican descent, met their end at the point of a bayonet or barrel of a gun, fighting bitterly to the last man and bowie knife at an old Spanish religious outpost called the Alamo. A few weeks later, Mexican troops massacred 342 Texan prisoners at Goliad, where an early version of the Texas Declaration of Independence had been signed. But the Texas rebels were not deterred. They had thrown in all their chips with a perilous cause, that of independence from a dictatorship, and they were going to take that cause to its conclusion. After the massacres of the Alamo and Goliad, in 1836, Sam Houston's army was being pursued by General Santa Anna. Things were not looking good. Of course, that is exactly the kind of moment when a Texan likes to double down, which is just what Sam Houston and his men did, taking up positions in a forest next to the plain where Santa Anna and his troops had set up camp. Houston became the pursuer. On the afternoon of April 21, 1836, his Texans charged their enemy, shouting, "Remember the Alamo and remember Goliad." The Battle of San Jacinto, as the fight came to be known, was over in 18 minutes. Santa Anna's troops were routed and he was taken prisoner. A month later, he signed the Treaty of Velasco, which laid the foundation for Texas independence. The men of Sam Houston's army hadn't buried the memory of the Alamo and Goliad. They rallied around it. Those Texan fighters, who democracy had been usurped by Santa Anna, knew in their hearts that to keep fighting was the only way forward. Happy Texas Independence Week, folks, and thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Texas Titans podcast. Well, howdy, folks, and welcome to this episode of the Texas Titans podcast. I hope you liked that little intro with the help of Gary P. Nunn and What I Like About Texas, celebrating Texas Independence Day. If you know anything about Texans, we are a very independent lot, and we like to celebrate our independence. And today's going to be a little different. Next week, I'll be going back to the interview format with Major Dodge, an actor, producer, extremely talented guy that I think you're going to really enjoy hearing from. And I'm really looking forward to that. But this week, I wanted to do something a little different. I had mentioned on the Instagrams a while back that I wanted to start incorporating book reviews into my content. I'm probably going to start doing a reading list on my website, just kind of letting people know about what I'm reading, what I'm looking at, what I'm studying, because I'm constantly trying to self-educate, and I have a pretty extensive library. And I know a lot of times it's kind of tricky to figure out, you know, what are you going to read next? Because let's face it, I mean, there is just so many great authors out there and things that you could get a hold of that I'm going to put the timer on, folks, because I don't want to go too long. I don't want to babble on with you guys for more time than necessary. So let's see here. And it's one of the things I always do. Whenever I start a podcast, I have the best of intentions to put the timer on, and then I always forget. So let's do that. I'm going to reset it from this morning. My morning routine this morning, by the way, I've just pulled it up. It took 3 hours and 35 minutes. That was my morning routine, 3 hours and 35 minutes. So maybe I'll talk to you guys about my morning routine at some point and kind of go into the details of that and why I think it's so important. But anyway, back to the regularly scheduled program. So I know Ryan Holiday puts out a very extensive reading list. It's phenomenal. And a lot of the books that I read come from his list. But I think it's important to go and find somebody like you, the listeners, which now there's some like 5,000 of you out there on a regular basis. So if I've got 5,000 listeners, that means to me that something that I'm bringing you with regard to the people that I'm interviewing with kind of my worldview, whatever the case may be, some of you have probably read my book, that there's something that resonates with you. So therefore, it's a good filter if you find somebody whose content you enjoy to go find out what they are reading, because there are only so many hours, minutes, seconds in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year, in a lifetime. And when you figure up how much time it takes to invest in reading a book, and how much time that is tabulated out over a lifetime, you realize you really don't have that many books to read throughout the course of your life. I mean, let's face it, if you were able to be, I mean, really prolific with it, like my goal, I love the idea of setting the goal to read 52 books a year. That's a book a week, right? I have never got there. I don't know if I ever will, but that is my goal. But you figure, even if that's the case, at 52 books a week, and let's just say I just turned 45, let's say I'm going to live till I'm at least 100, but let's be conservative and say I live till another 45 years till I'm 90. Then let's say it's 52 times 45. That's only 2,340 books. That's not a lot of, I mean, it sounds like a lot. It's over 2,000 books, but it's really not. So what I want to do every once in a while is through Jason Right Now, my website, where I keep the bulk of my content housed as far as speaking, writing, you can get to the podcast, the Make Your Own Rules blog is there. I'm going to start a reading list so that you guys can come to it and figure out what I'm reading, and hopefully you find something helpful. I'll distill it down so that you can kind of look at the highlights and go, okay, I want to dig deeper into that. And one of the books that I mentioned on the Make Your Own Rules, as a matter of fact, I think it was the first book I ever recommended on my blog, which was Rule Number 18, read James Altucher's book, Choose Yourself. The second book was the Steve Jobs biography by Walter Isaacson, which I find phenomenal as well. And I'll probably do a review on that at some point. But today, I'm really, really into James Altucher right now. I cannot recommend more highly that you go listen to his podcast. It's a fantastic one. James is a very eclectic guy. He's done everything from stand-up comedy to hedge fund management. One of his first really successful entrepreneurial ventures was he owned a website company back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when if you were a web developer, then you were like, you know, a rock star. And so he built websites back when building websites was just in its pioneering days, made a lot of money. And the cool thing about James, and this is what I love, he's very transparent. And it's kind of weird. I always describe him. He's kind of like a mix of it's kind of like if Woody Allen were a hedge fund manager, finance expert, it would be James Altucher. He's funny. He is so New York. He is New York to the bone. He's got a white man's afro. He's just a character, but incredibly brilliant. He is a world master, whatever you call it, a chess player, just a brilliant, brilliant guy. And he has cracked the code on life design, which that's one of the things I try to capture in my book, Push Play, which talks about my journey from escaping corporate America, designing the kind of life I wanted to live as an entrepreneur, and doing things that I was passionate about and that I chose, and kind of taking control of my life and my day and those sorts of things. Well, I can tell you right now, after I read Choose Yourself, I was like, man, that's the book I wanted to write. Now, granted, I think Push Play is a good book. I love my book, and I want you to pick it up. I want you to read it. The feedback that I've received from those of you who have read it is phenomenal. Because look, I'm a real guy. I am not a guru of anything. I'm just a guy that took the leap of escaping from the matrix and kind of starting to make my own rules. You know, one of the things that I've said is that I have mastered the art of not having a real job for over 20 years. And that is, in fact, an art, but you can do it. It takes discipline. It takes planning, but you can do it. And that's what Push Play is about. And that's exactly what Choose Yourself is about. It's such a great book. So I wanted for this to be the first book that I recommended to you guys in the first ever episode of the Texas Titans podcast, that I do a book review. Here's also why I'm doing it. Leaders read, right? I mean, that's the deal. Leaders are readers. It's true. Tony Robbins says it all the time. It is, Zig Ziglar, he used to preach this. Jim Rohn, I think, actually coined the phrase that readers are, or leaders are readers. Anyone that is massively successful, I think Warren Buffett to this day, it's crazy. He reads like more than a book a week. And here's a little fun fact that most of you may not know, and this is not a political show. I'm just going to give a guy a compliment that I think deserves a compliment. George W. Bush, few people know this because he was so beat up for, you know, supposedly, you know, being a bumbler and inarticulate or whatever the case may be. George W. Bush read on average something like 5 books a week or something like that. It was so prolific. It was amazing. He and Karl Rove used to kind of have a little competition on who could read the most books and then report back on it. And George W. Bush was an amazing reader. So say what you will about him. He's the president of the United States. He was a prolific reader. There is something to it. So that's why I'm tying this into the Texas Titans podcast, because one of the things I always want to do for you is I want to interview people and I want to tease out their habits, their tips, what it is that has made them successful, what is it that has made them someone that I find interesting enough. And by the way, one of the things I think that you've probably noticed is I'm not seeking out the headliners such as, I mean, granted, if Troy Aikman, if he decided, hey, Jason, I'd like to come on your podcast, guess who's going to be on the podcast? Same thing with Jack Welch, an incredible, incredible leader that we lost this week. You know, if Jack Welch, even though he's not from Texas, I would have interviewed him. But what I want to do is bring people to the podcast that have had amazing success as a father, as a church leader, as an entrepreneur, as the athlete that you may have never even heard of. For example, I think one of my buddies, Mike Quinn, who has not been on the program, spent, I think, 15 years, it was 10 or 15 years in the NFL as a backup quarterback. Now, chances are none of you have heard of Mike, but guess what? He got to spend 15 years in the NFL. That is success, okay? And there were some habits and some tips and some tricks that he deployed to maintain that career for so long. or business leaders, you know, kind of the millionaire next door. Those are the interviews I do. These are people that have crushed it that you've never heard of. And so I want to find out what they're doing, what the tips and tricks are that have made them successful. And a lot of it is reading. And so this is one of the things that I want to incorporate to encourage you, the listener, if you're looking for something to do. I always tell people whenever I'm speaking that reading is literally like doing push-ups for your brain. James Altucher, who I'm going to be profiling, whose book I'm profiling today, he has a habit that I have adopted that is to make your brain sweat, as he calls it, of sitting down and writing 10 ideas every day. Write 10 ideas a day. It doesn't matter how good they are. It doesn't matter if you're ever going to act on them. Write 10 ideas a day, because you figure if you'd write 10 ideas a day over a 365-day year, surely in those thousands of ideas, one of them will be one that you can act upon. You can help maybe change your life. You can help make some more money. You can start a side hustle, whatever the case may be. And I learned that habit in Choose Yourself, the book that we're going to talk about today. So with that, let's get started on Choose Yourself. All right, I'm going to read, first of all, my blog entry that I wrote almost within a week of finishing the book. It was that good. So again, you can go to Jason right now and you can read rule number 18, which is read James Altucher's book, Choose Yourself. So here's what I wrote on the book. I'm a voracious reader. I think reading a book is the equivalent of riding my Peloton for my brain. As a result, I read a myriad of different books. Some are hits, some are misses. Rarely does one really grab me by the cerebrum and not let go. When it does, it's a true gift. I'm not someone who naturally enjoys reading per se. However, I love to learn. I also want to know what the thought leaders are thinking. I recently discovered James Altucher via his podcast. I've also got a link to his podcast in this blog entry, so you can just go right to it. I've come to love his Woody Allen-like delivery and complete transparency about his hits and misses and his blunt views on business in general. Now, I want to pause right here. James is a guy that has lost everything. He's gone broke. As a matter of fact, he actually sold all of his material goods. He wanted to limit himself down to the bare minimum and didn't even have a home for a while. He lived in Airbnbs for, like, I want to say is either a year or 2 years, which I think is so freaking cool. So just a really cool guy. So yes, he's worth millions now, but he has been broke more than once. He's had millions, lost it, made it back, lost it, and now he's back on top, and he's learned the lessons of survivorship through that. So anyway, I digress. Here we go. Let's see. Then I came across his book, Choose Yourself. It's the book I would like my book, Push Play, to be. While I believe my book is great and it's very personal to my experiences, I think James takes much of the same approach, but in his voice, and it's great. My advice to you is read both and decide for yourself. The workplace, the economy, the timeline on careers, job security, all have changed forever. Never again will the modus operandi be to go to college, take a job, stay in that job for years and years. Be loyal to your employer and watch them be loyal to you and retire to a life of golf and showing off your gold watch. Nope, those days are gone. James does an amazing job of deconstructing these new paradigms and gives excellent insight on how to execute effectively in this new environment. A great quote from the book directed at creators like me who are trying to reach a reading and listening audience. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter who your audience is, 30% will love it, 30% will hate it, and 30% won't care. Stick with the people who love you and don't spend a single second on the rest. Life will be better that way. It's a mantra both Tim Ferriss and Ryan Holiday have shared as well. Kevin Kelly illustrates this swimmingly in his article, 1,000 True Fans. Go read that article, folks. I'm not reading now from the blog. I'm telling you, go read 1,000 True Fans. If you're trying to create a small business, if you're trying to create content in particular, if you're a blogger, if you want to start a podcast, if you want to write a book, go read 1,000 True Fans and learn how you can monetize those 1,000 true fans and build from there. You will bring focus and attention to the things that matter that will yield you more success, especially, again, especially if you're trying to monetize your content in some way. 1,000 True Fans, Kevin Kelly, go read it. Now, back to the blog. If you want to start a side hustle, focus on the audience that loves you and love them back by giving them quality content that both they and you will enjoy. One of the exercises I've adopted from the book is to keep an idea journal, as I mentioned earlier, using it to make my brain sweat. This is an exercise James recommends to keep your brain working and improving. It also keeps the ideas coming. There is no idea too stupid or too big. If, like Kramer from Seinfeld, you come up with a bladder for oil tankers, write it down. Just document them and force your brain to be creative. I've come to love this process. And that is the blog entry for rule number 18 about the book that I'm going to be profiling today. And I'm not going to go through the entire book, obviously, because I want to be respectful of your time. But here's the thing. Many of you, because let's face it, the Texas Titan podcast has grown far larger than I ever really thought it would by this time. For that, I am so incredibly grateful. However, it's still small enough that I get to bump into a lot of you who listen to the podcast on a daily, weekly, whatever basis. And so I'm trying to love on you and give you the things that I know you have asked for, you have wanted. I've seen your eyes light up or a revelation come through whenever I mention one of the books I'm reading, when I mention one of the ideas that I've gleaned from these thought leaders that I'm constantly trying to dig and find more information from. So that's what this is about. And let's face it, James Altucher, the circle that I'm in, I think there's a good chance, like, it's funny. You start to learn the people that reflect your interests and your worldview. You can usually drop a name and they go, yeah, I listen to that person, like right now. And I say it over and over on this podcast, so forgive me, but Tim Ferriss, pretty much everyone that I hang out with, it's rare now that I bump into somebody and I mention Tim Ferriss's name and they don't go, yeah, love his podcast, or I listen to him. But that's also because I think Tim has had over like 300 million downloads to his podcast at this point, multiple New York Times bestsellers. When I used to talk about Tim's podcast maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I would be amazed when people would be like, yeah, I don't know who that is. So I was bringing it to my personal sphere of influence. I love doing that. And then the same thing happened with Gary Vaynerchuk. I'll never forget whenever I first discovered Gary V. I was watching like a YouTube video, and Ryan Serhant, another guy that most people in my circle had not heard of that I started talking about, the star of Million Dollar Listing New York, Gary V was on Ryan's vlog. So like, who's this Gary V guy? Well, I chased down some of his YouTube videos. I start subscribing to his content. Well, then I start dropping his name to my circle, and 9 out of 10 of them, they didn't know who Gary V was. Now they do. And now Gary V has blown up. So now it's funny. Most people I go to now, they've heard of Gary V. So that's kind of where James Altucher is in my life cycle of content and giving people good ideas of who to listen to, who to learn from, that have done cool things, that are entertaining. So that's where James is. Chances are a lot of you listening to this podcast have never heard of James Altucher. So I hope you haven't. I hope that none of you have heard of him and maybe saw him on CNBC or MSNBC back in the day when he was talking about investing in stocks, but you've never listened to his podcast. And, you know, now if this points you there, great. I think you'll be glad that you did, and I think you'll be glad if you go pick up this book. So here's one of the things that I preach over and over and over to my daughters, Rylan and Abby, who are, I guess, a sophomore and a freshman in college, respectively, Rylan at Alabama, Abby at Colorado. I tell them, right now, while you're young and you have the chance, focus on those things that you thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy doing. What are those things that you would do for free, but can add value in the marketplace? For Abby, it's cooking. She's an incredible cook. She's got type 1 diabetes. You marry those two together, there is a market out there for type 1 diabetics who are constantly trying to eat foods that keep their blood sugar in check, that tastes good, that is nutritious, that is whole. Abby has mastered so much of that. So I keep telling her, focus on a way to make that a marketplace benefit. You know, figure out a way, whether it's through a restaurant, go be a cook, whatever the case may be a nutritionist, help people figure out their meal plan. And so that's one of the things that I'm constantly preaching. It's one of the things I preach in Push Play. And that's what comes through all the way through James's book, Choose Yourself. So I want to read a little bit from the book regarding doing things that you enjoy. This is James. Only do things you enjoy. This might seem obvious to you, but it isn't to most. One might also say, duh, I love to do what I enjoy, but I have to pay the bills. Relax for a second. We're going to learn how to do what you enjoy first. I'm not just talking about those only pursue a career you enjoy platitudes either. I mean it down to your very thoughts. Only think about the people you enjoy. Only read the books you enjoy that make you happy to be human. Only go to the events that actually make you laugh or fall in love. Only deal with the people who love you back, who are winners and want you to win too. This is a daily practice. Let me tell you something. This is something that I have started to take much greater care with. And here's what it looks like. There are people that are in my circle of friends, and I am not going to name names for sure, but I feel worse when I leave them than I felt before I met up with them. So I don't meet up with them anymore. We don't go to lunch. We don't go to coffee. In fact, I don't go to lunch with anybody if I can help it. And to my friends, there are some that listen to the podcast that I do have the occasional lunch with, but that's because I enjoy spending time with them. I rarely want to go sit and eat with someone other than Jimlyn, Rylan, or Abby. And I have taken much greater caution with who I spend my time with. And a lot of that is based on, and this sounds so selfish, and it is in a way selfish, but I want to know, can I pour into that person's life? Is this an individual I can spend time with that I'm going to enjoy sharing the things that I know that I think they will enjoy learning and that we can, you know, the Bible calls it as far as, you know, men spending time together, it's like iron sharpening iron. So even if you're not a believer or whatever, I'm not preaching, I'm just saying, take the time to make a list of the people that make you better when you spend time with them, because if they make you better, then chances are you probably enjoy being around them. Enjoy the books you read. I used to read stuff to try to be smart, for instance, or to seem intellectual, or because intellectuals did it, so I thought maybe that's what I should do. Great example. I tried to get through War and Peace, one of the greatest novels of all time by Tolstoy. But you know what? I'm going to be honest. I just couldn't get there. I didn't enjoy it. Now, I used to have this internal conflict of, well, but you're supposed to enjoy it. If you're smart, if you're intellectual, all the intellectuals have signed off that this is one of the greatest novels ever, ever published. So you've got to like it. Now, I put my ego aside and go, I don't like it. I don't enjoy this. I'm not going to read this. So I figure out the things that I enjoy to read. Then I look for patterns. I look at the books that I enjoy reading, which are generally like this. This is why I'm so excited about this book, Choose Yourself. I love reading about life design. I love reading books about jumping out of the matrix and not doing kind of the typical societal thing and the patterns and routines that society has created. So therefore, I go seek out books that are going to teach me some little hack, some kind of contrarian view of how to live life, how to make money, how to do work. That's what I do. So I think James just hits it on the head with this. Only do things you enjoy. And so I'm going to repeat it so that it is buried in your mind right now. Only do things you enjoy. Only do things you enjoy. Only do things you enjoy. Look, it sounds selfish. It sounds simple. It's okay. You don't need my permission for anything, but give yourself permission to take this stand. I'm only going to spend time with people I enjoy spending time with. I'm only going to do those things that I enjoy doing. Granted, you're not always going to be able to do that. There's going to be a job that you do have to pay the bills, but if you will start to get into your mind that you're only going to do things that you enjoy, then all of a sudden you'll start finding ways to monetize that enjoyment, and then that will take the place of the crap that you're having to do that you despise. I know what I'm talking about. Okay. Now, here's something, too, that James writes just right over the next page. Every time you say yes to something you don't want, your fire starts to go away. How true is that? Do you ever say yes to something? You put something on your calendar only to look at it from the time you put it on the calendar till the time it gets there with absolute dread. I can tell you right now. And a little insight for any of mine and Jimlyn's friends that are listening to this. Jimlyn and I are the world's worst at this. We are both on the exact same page when it comes to making commitments, because generally our favorite thing to do, Jimlyn, my wife, I'm a blessed guy, my favorite human being to spend time with. And this, of you take anybody, my favorite person to be with is my wife. You put Jimlyn and I in our living room watching a movie, and I am happier there than if there's only one place where it might be, there might be a little more bliss, and that is in Central Park, New York. We love New York. Y'all, if anybody that follows me on Instagram knows that Jimlyn and I like to sit in the park, but literally all we do is we just sit. We have a bench by one of the ponds and we just sit. That's what I want to do. So if Jimlyn and I put anything on our calendar that's going to put us around other people, especially if they're not really close friends of ours, which we do not have a lot of, it just causes dread. It literally sucks the life out of you. So therefore, don't make plans to do, learn to say no. Okay? Learn to say no. It's okay. Again, give yourself permission. It's not being rude. And here's a tip and a trick. The people that always ask you, hey, let's meet for lunch. Again, you know, you may be someone that loves to sit down and break bread with people. Good for you. Good on you. Go do that. You know, lunch it up, baby. I can't stand it. I don't want to, if you're listening to this, y'all are going to laugh, but don't ask me to go to lunch. I don't want to go to lunch with you. I don't. I love you. I'll go to coffee with you. I love coffee. Coffee's different. We can just sit and hang out and chat. And some of you, I want to catch up with you. Call me and let's go to coffee. I will do that. I don't want to go to lunch. I sure as hell don't want to go to dinner with you, because that means I'm going to be out after dark. And when it's dark, I want to be in my house with Jimlyn on the couch in the living room watching a movie. So don't ask me to dinner, please. It's so kind that you would ask. Thank you. But I don't want to go. So don't do that. Don't commit to things that are just going to suck the life out of you. Okay. Here is something that really resonated with me, because those of you who have read Push Play, you know that this is the mantra of Push Play. Here it is. Abundance will never come from your job. It is not going to happen, folks. Only stepping out of the prison imposed on you from your factory will allow you to achieve abundance. You can't see it now. It's hard to see the gardens when you are locked in jail. Abundance only comes when you are moving along your themes. Now, I want to talk about themes in a minute. I'm glad I read that, because that brings a thought that was one of my favorite things in the whole book. When you are truly enhancing the lives of the people around you, abundance only comes when you are moving along your themes, when you are truly enhancing the lives of the people around you. Okay. Now, here's the deal. Now, I'm going to jump up a little bit and read this whole idea of themes, because goals are very practical. Goals, I'm looking over here to on my whiteboard that I keep right by my desk where I'm recording the podcast today, and I keep a list of goals from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They're actually habits. What they are, what most people would call goals. I have daily habits that are listed out that I put a check mark on, these things that I want to accomplish every single day. Okay, goals are good, but goals are not. Goals basically are just reflective of a theme. Okay, example. This is one of the things that I think it was Zig Ziglar that used to always talk about. If you ask somebody, what would make you happy? Well, $1 million. That's kind of the proverbial. $1 million. No, it wouldn't. Million, $1 million, if you had it in cash in front of you, you know what it is? It's just a bunch of dirty paper with dead presidents, except for Benjamin Franklin, on it. Okay? That's all it is. It's just dirty paper. It's not the money. It's not the $1 million that's going to make you happy. It's something that you think the money will allow you to do. That's what's going to make you happy. Well, what is that thing? Well, I want more freedom to paint, to garden, to make music, to start a podcast, to write a book. Okay. Well, first of all, none of those things I mentioned cost $1 million, because I've done a lot of them. I think I've done everything I just listed there, even the garden, which wasn't that great, but Jemlyn and I did plant our first garden, and none of them cost $1 million. So what you've done is you've taken this stupid, just kind of nebulous, I want $1 million, and if you dig a few layers down, you start to think podcast, right, art. I haven't painted. That's something I haven't done. I would be terrible as a painter. But now there's a theme. You want to be creative. So you start to generate a theme. And so then, the goal of making enough money so that I can be a painter, that is just a reflective of this overall theme. So here's what James says about themes. Make the list right now. Every dream, I want to be a best-selling author. I want to reduce my material needs. I want to have freedom from many of the worries that I have succumbed to all my life. I want to be healthy. I want to help all the people around me or the people who come into my life. I want everything I do to be a source of help to people. I want to only be around people I love, people who love me. I want to have time for myself. These are not goals. These are themes. Every day, what do I need to do to practice those themes? It starts the moment I wake up. Who can I help today? I ask the darkness when I open my eyes. Who would you have me help today? I'm a secret agent and I'm waiting for my mission, ready to receive. This is how you make baby steps. This is how eventually you run toward freedom. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so I got to let you in a little bit on push play. So when I wrote this book, I knew I had done something really, really special and not unique. Other people have done it, so I'm not going to say it was unique, but I knew it was special by running from or escaping from this prison that was corporate America, where I was miserable, breaking out of the matrix. But it wasn't so special that I did it. It wasn't so special that I had the nerve and the guts or the stupidity to pick up and literally, this is what it looked like, move from Houston, Texas to Tyler, Texas, where at that time in Tyler, I had no family, no friends. I was buying a residential real estate brokerage. I did not even have a real estate license. I had never sold a house in my life. I had never purchased a piece of commercial real estate, and I was buying an office building that housed this real estate company. There was so much risk attached to that. But here's why it worked. If I had just set the goal of, I want to make $500,000 a year by owning my own business in East Texas, well, those are some goals that you could hit, but underneath it, for me, there was a theme. And here's what that looked like. I wanted to be close to home. I was traveling a ton before I moved to Tyler. Okay. Rylan and Abby were 2 and 3 years old. I wanted to be there when they grew up. I wanted to be very involved in my church. I wanted to be very involved in my community. I did not want a long commute. I was living in Houston. My office in Houston was a good 45-minute commute every morning, unless I was on an airplane, which was a lot of the time as well. It got to the point where it was every Monday through Thursday. So my commute literally was from Houston to Atlanta, Georgia. And that is a really crappy commute. And so I wanted to be placed in a life where I got to spend time doing the things that I loved, which really had nothing to do with money. They really weren't monetarily based. You know, I wanted to sit on local boards. When I say I wanted to be involved in my community, I wanted to sit on nonprofit boards and help do good, you know, spend my days doing things. As a matter of fact, I did so many things in my 30s whenever I bought my first business when I was 28. I came here, and within 8 years, so I'm 36 years old, I was on the Tyler City Council. I had sat on the board of directors for the YMCA, the Community Advisory Board for Bancorp South, a nonprofit board called East Texas Cornerstone Assistance Network, which is a faith-based intermediary that helps people with life transformation. I had taught a Sunday school class and directed a Sunday school class. I had been the president of my local Rotary Club. So all of a sudden, the theme of I want to have kind of that small community leader life, that's what it boiled down to. And that's what drove me, because when you have a theme, then you can create a vision. A theme can become a vision. Goals are just byproducts. They're kind of like the milestones that you got to get to make that theme become a reality. You're right. It's like if you wanted to make a movie, a beautiful love story, you wouldn't start out saying, my goal is to, one, film by this day, two, be showing up become a director in 3 years, become a executive producer in 5 years. Okay, all of that is a theme for you want to create pictures. And then hopefully somewhere in that journey, you have a certain type of picture that has a theme. The theme of this is a love story, and I want to create that theme, that love story. And then you start working within the theme. So that's one of the things that I think James really hits on that is so powerful in this book, is it's not about just goals. It's about a theme and doing things you enjoy. Here's another one as far as let's get into the actual tactics of how you choose yourself. What does that look like? And here's the thing. Okay, I want to back up a little bit before I go back to the book. So Rylan, before she headed out to the University of Alabama, she told me that she wanted to be a sports broadcaster. And granted, I'm a biased father, but Rylan is beautiful, articulate. She's funny. She's magnetic. She would be amazing on ESPN. She would be phenomenal. I hope that she'll pursue that. I was a journalism major at Stephen F. Austin State University. That was my undergraduate degree, was journalism. And back in those days, to become an on-air personality, newscaster or whatever, the journey went something like this. You go to school, you become a broadcast journalism major. I was just journalism. I wasn't broadcast journalism. And you maybe work for the university TV or radio station, hoping to get an internship locally there in town. So let's say that it would be Nacogdoches. Okay, so you get an internship working at one of the little local affiliates there, hoping to maybe get to go and become an on-air personality in Nacogdoches or Lufkin or somewhere, Longview, something like that. Or maybe you get to go to the biggest market in East Texas, biggest local market, which is Tyler, okay? Then from there, you try to get a job going to Dallas or Austin or San Antonio. And then from there, you're trying to go to Chicago and then maybe LA and then maybe New York. And by the way, this whole journey is taking you moving almost on an annual basis, making probably less than 25 grand a year. So you have no life whatsoever. But the only way back when I graduated from Stephen F. Austin State University that you could create content of the kind that would reach the type of audience that you wanted to create content for in the form of newscasting or broadcasting or whatever the case may be was to get a bunch of demo tapes. And the only way you could do that is go take whatever job that you could do to get on film and send out and keep going and keep going and keep churning and burning and just hoping that you would be one of those very, very, very few people that actually make it to New York to go to the mothership of one of the major networks. And now there's many more, which leads me to what advice I gave Rylan. Because here's how you can now jump out of the matrix. That route that I just described to you, it still exists. It still exists. Why anybody would follow it is beyond me, because you could do what I shared with Rylan, which is this. Sweetheart, I told her, you have over 4,000 followers on Instagram. Now, Rylan is not an influencer. She's never tried to be an influencer. Actually, I take that back. I think there was this teeth whitening group that contacted her and started paying her something like $20 for every time she would do a post with the little teeth whitening tray in and do a blurb about it. Because she had so many followers that were all organic. I mean, Rylan's not trying. So I told her, I said, you have 4,000 followers right now that are just, for whatever reason, interested in being a part of your circle. You're going to the University of Alabama. I mean, literally the college football dynasty of our time. You also happen to be close friends with the sister of one of the players who is now a starting player on the Alabama football team. So you've got access that not everybody has. So going back to Kevin Kelly's 1,000 true fans, don't you think that you could get 1,000 Alabama fans to start following you on Instagram and you start creating cool little content? You go to every home game, interview the players, interview the students, whatever the case may be. So by the time, and you've got four years of runway. And by the way, this isn't happening in class. This isn't happening because somebody's directing her. This isn't happening for credit. This is just her using her wits. Let's say that you 5X your followers that are mostly Alabama fans by the time you graduate. So now you've got 20,000 followers. I think 20,000 followers, that gets you pretty close to a blue check on Twitter or a verified account, whatever the case is. I think you can actually become somebody that you can swipe up on Instagram at that point. So now you graduate and you go to ESPNU and you look for an internship or something your junior, senior year, and you go, hey, I've got 20,000 followers. Here's what I do. Here's what I do. Here's who I am. You think they wouldn't want that? I mean, you bring an audience to their network. You've proven you are a personality. That's choosing yourself. That's doing it yourself. We live it. We live in a DIY, do or DI. Yeah, is that it? DIY, do it yourself. We live in a DIY world now, that you don't have to follow any certain path. Self-promotion, content creation, creating the path has never been easier. And one of the things that James says about this is don't just set up Facebook fan pages for people. Get those people some fans. Set people up on Twitter. Then get those people followers. Set businesses up on YouTube, Pinterest, Wanalo, Etsy, Quora, Instagram, MailChimp. Every small business, a law firm, a dentist's office, a flower shop, etc., should have a working knowledge of some, if not all, of these tools. Your new agency can give it to them. So, kids, young people listening, those of you who started listening to the podcast because I lectured in your classroom, here's what you do. You have a marketable gift and talent that businesses need. That is, you understand social media. It is mind-blowing how many followers you young folks can get just by being you. TikTok blows me away. I cannot believe the people that get a million followers on TikTok for doing goofy nonsense. You don't realize you're doing it for fun, and you obviously enjoy it. Okay, go monetize it. Well, how do I monetize that, Jason? Well, here's what you do. You start a business of being a social media consultant. You go to, like James just talks about, a dentist's office. You go to, I mean, look, let's face it, that sounds crazy. We live in a world now where instead of a dentist's office trying to create some local, horrible, home movie-looking commercial of, come on down to Dr. Bigsby's Dental, where we care, and we also have on-site sedation. Doesn't this look good? No. Instead, go make a parody of that kind of commercial. Put it out on Instagram, YouTube, Snap, whatever. Get people going, that's a dentist that I want to go to because they're funny. And they got my attention. They made me laugh. I hate going to the dentist, but if I'm going to go, I want to go to a dentist that understands humor. So boom, there you go. So that's how you can take, if you love social media, you don't have to just sit there and pound your head about, well, how in the world could I ever make money by posting stuff online? Well, chances are you probably can't. So go show people how to do it. Go show them. That's what you monetize. The book has so many things that you can benefit from. Here's one of my favorite quotes that James mentions in the book. A no uttered from the deepest conviction is better than a yes merely uttered to please, or worse, to avoid trouble. Gandhi. That goes back to what I was telling you earlier. And let me tell you something. Here's somebody else who learned how to say no to things that they either didn't enjoy or didn't think were of value. I'm going to give you two quick examples. One, let's pay some homage to Jack Welch, who just passed away. So Jack Welch, one of the most famous, he was called Neutron Jack. Okay, the reason why he was called Neutron Jack is because whenever he took over as CEO of GE, heads started rolling. He slimmed down General Electric, and he turned it into, just a rock star of a company. And he was a rock star manager, if ever there was one. I think he was named Manager of the Century. And it was because he cut a lot of jobs. Every year, he had his senior leaders remove the bottom 10% of performers in the company. That sounds harsh, and can you imagine being that 10th individual? But you know what? Jack Welch used to describe it like this. He said, you know what? If they're in the bottom 10%, they are not reaching their full potential. What we did was we forced them to go do something that they would be better at. We were doing them a favor. Okay, but that's how I got the name Neutron Jack. And one of the things that he did that was very controversial at the time was he went and looked across all of General Electric's business segments. And if they were not number one or number two in that space, he got rid of it. He said, no, we're not doing this anymore. Now, granted, these might have been money-making entities. They might have been making money, but they weren't number one or number two. So Jack Welch said, we're going to say no, because here's what happens when you say no to doing things that you're not world-class at, saying no to things that you do not enjoy. And usually those two things go hand in hand. The reason why Michael Phelps was a world-class swimmer is because the man was built to swim and he loved doing it. Okay? Same thing in business. And so therefore, if you're willing to say no to those things that you don't like to do, that you don't enjoy, you know what it does? Lean in. Put your earbuds in as tight as possible, because here comes something truly profound. Get your brain around this. You ready? I mean, this is really, I'm about to show off my wicked smarts. If you're willing to say no to those things that you don't enjoy, that you are just not very good at, that you're mediocre at best, it allows you room to say yes to those things that you can freaking crush. And that's where you want to be. I wrote a blog about this a while back, making a rule to keep your calendar clear. Bill Gates has almost a clean daytime or calendar, whatever he keeps. Warren Buffett, if you were to open up his calendar, now you would think, this is the world's greatest investor. Everybody wants his time, okay? But if you open up Warren Buffett's calendar, whatever his actual physical calendar looks like, it's almost empty. Because he believes in the principle of saying no in order to leave space to say yes for the right things. So cool. So I'm going to read you one more anecdote from the book, and it is this. Don't lead a double life. Everything you do takes up space in your brain. If you live a double life, and you know what I mean if I'm talking to you, then that extra life takes up neurons and synapses working overtime. The brain can't handle it. It starts to degrade instead of grow. Living a double life might have given you momentary pleasure, but now your brain is heading straight for the gutter, and your finances, which are a reflection of the health of your brain, will fall straight into the sewer with it. Oh, that is so money. I love that. We take for granted, we think when we say we're busy, we mean physically. If I'm physically busy, you know, somebody asks us, and there's that, let's say there's that occasion where someone asks you to do something that you would really love to go do, but you can't because you are quote unquote physically busy. You're performing a physical task. Well, guess what? Your brain is the same way. It can only handle extreme linear focus on certain things. So if you're crowding your brain with a bunch of crap that doesn't matter, that doesn't drive you, that doesn't fill you with passion, then it is pushing out those things that would. You have to imagine, close your eyes and imagine arranging your life, your brain, like a bookshelf. Okay? The bookshelf is completely clean. Okay? Now, only take and allow books back into that shelf that you prize and that you cherish and that will truly help push you towards, and by the way, will keep you laser focused on those things that matter to you and drive you, leaving no room for the crap. You do not let anything, like my bookshelf, it's full. And I can tell you right now, because before I really started being extremely disciplined about what I read, we just take that for granted, man. That's a, like I said earlier when we started this, that's why I'm doing this. I feel this passionately about it. That's a lot of time. It's an investment and you're laser focused. But here's the deal. You get the right book. You put the right books on that mental shelf. You put the right task. You focus on the right things on that mental shelf. Then all of a sudden, you get real stingy with it. And you start to put some strict, strict barriers up to say, I'm not going to waste my time focusing on a bunch of crap that either pleases other people, that either feeds my ego, that has me doing things that others think I should be doing. No, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to figure out those things I truly enjoy and that I can focus on to move towards a primary goal. Here's what it's like. Okay. Take a piece of paper. If I had a piece of paper and I told you to poke a hole through it, but I said, here's what you have to do. You have to take your hand and you have to poke a hole through the piece of paper by only applying equal pressure to every finger. You wouldn't do that. That doesn't work. What you have to do is you have to take one finger, put it on the piece of paper, and press all your energy through that one finger, and then the hole will develop. That's how your brain works. If you're sitting there with a hand of knowledge and a hand of information and a hand of data, and you're saying yes to five different things, then you're just kind of pushing against your brain in a way that there's nothing that's actually going to poke through and get in and sink in and hit that reticular activating system. It's going to actually hit that plasticity that is your brain to dig a trench for that knowledge to flow through that leads to whatever task it is, whatever that thing is you're trying to manifest. So, with that, I have ranted now for 50 minutes about this. The book is called Choose Yourself. Be Happy, Make Millions, Live the Dream by James Altucher. I cannot recommend enough you picking this up. And if you would, do me a favor. Please do this for me. I got an ask, okay? I rarely make asks on the podcast. I'm terrible at that. If you get the book, please post a picture of James's book and tag him and then tag me, Jason, right now on Instagram and describe why you're reading it. Please let him know that I recommended it on the podcast. And do that with the books. Because you don't realize it, but you have influence. The people that are following you, they're watching some of the things you do. And if you take the book, and then it's, I don't want it to just be about me. I just want your life to be better. I want you to grab something that can truly improve who you are, how you think, and improve your life, man. I mean, like I said, I'm not sitting here hyping up push play, taking your life off pause, which I wrote. I'm happy to sing the praises of Choose Yourself by James Altucher. So take a picture of it and let people know who recommended it to you. That would just blow me away. I'm telling you, if that would really excite me. I would be so grateful. And point people towards the podcast and give me your feedback on this. I think I want to do this like, you know, once every three or four episodes. I'm going to start a whole new podcast with a format that allows a little more freedom for some of the crazy things that I'm experimenting with, such as intermittent fasting. That has been amazing. The books I'm reading, topics I'm researching, everything, just different habits. It's just going to open up. There will still be some interviews, but it won't be so business focused. So anyway, be looking for that. I've got that in the works. It'll be a whole new podcast. I'm still going to have the Texas Titan podcast. That's my baby. And I love it. I love doing it. I love the incredible people I get to meet. And I love you. I love you for taking the time to listen to me. As you can tell, I'm passionate about this. So go out, do yourself a favor, get Choose Yourself from James Altucher. I think you will thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it. Thanks for listening, folks. Hey, folks, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Texas Titan Podcast. Remember, you can find me on the Instagrams at Jason Wright Now. I'm also on Facebook at Jason Wright TX. Just look up Jason Wright, and Jason Wright TX is the handle, and please join my Facebook page. I'm also going to start, I'm going to create pretty soon a group, a mastermind group, so be looking for that. I'll make some announcements about that a little later. And also, if you haven't, as I mentioned in today's podcast, please, please do yourself, do me a favor, a huge favor for me, pick up a copy of Push Play, Taking Your Life Off Pause. You can go to jasonrightnow.com and order it from Amazon right there through the website, or you can just go to Amazon and push in or and type in Push Play, Jason Wright, and it will come up. I really, really, if you are wanting to escape the matrix and start to make some truly life-shaping decisions, I give you my first-hand testimony. This weird guy that many of you know personally, here's how I did it. Here's why I get to do the things that I do. Check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. I'd be grateful. Follow me on the Instas and out there on the interwebs. And email me directly if you have any questions about starting a business. You're looking, I love to mentor, I love to guide, I want to help you. I'm available. Jason@texttitans.com. Shoot me an email. If it is within my ability to help you, I'm going to do it. So contact me anytime. Thanks so much, folks. Hey, folks, I hope you enjoy this episode of the Texas Titans podcast. Before you go, I wanted to let you know where you can find us out there on the interwebs. You can go to show notes as well as listen to all the past episodes and look for upcoming shows at texttitans.blog. Also, that has all the different formats that you can listen to the show on if you go there. So texttitans.blog. You can also go to jasonrightnow.com. That has not only a link to the podcast, but it also has a link to my Make Your Own Rules blog that I think you'll enjoy. So please check that out. Also, it has information about my executive coaching business, speaking, and anything else like that. So jasonrightnow.com. That's literally just my name, jasonrightnow.com. On Twitter, I'm at jasonwrighttx. I would really appreciate a follow. I have not been a big Twitter user, so I need you guys to help me with that. So please take the time to go out to jasonwrighttx, find me, and follow me. I'm trying to get more active with it. And so if you'll engage with me, I'll try to do a better job of engaging with you. So I would appreciate that. And then on Instagram, I'd really appreciate a follow there. I'm at jasonrightnow. Again, my name, now. So please follow me on Instagram. And then on Facebook, I'm also at Jason Wright TX. So check us out there. I'm also on LinkedIn, so look for me there. I try to use as many platforms as possible to let you know about upcoming shows, past shows, and then also just anything that I find interesting. I'm trying to push it out and get better with the social media. So please check us out there and follow us. I would be most grateful. And also, please do not forget, it means the world to me for you to go to iTunes, give us a rating. Right now, we've got that 5-star rating. I'm hoping to hold that. Please, please, please. The comments that people are writing are so very kind. Thank you so much. It means the world to me. And that's how we keep moving up in the ranks. And right now, we're crushing it with downloads. The show has really had incredible feedback thanks to you guys. So I'm grateful. Please keep that momentum going by giving us a review on iTunes. Thanks so much and have a great day. And as always, I could not be more grateful for you listening. Thanks.